This is the John Richardson Show
with John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to the John Richardson Show podcast, this week dubbed Ooh Mama. And I tell you what, I can't wait for you to find out why. It's not what you're expecting, is it, Angela?
No.
If I asked you what made Angela say Ooh Mama this week, I could give you several guesses.
A million years, they wouldn't guess.
This week, Angela and I both knew a fact about pineapples, one of which was broadcastable, and possible podcast title was John the Confessor, because I have Matthew Ford live on air and I confess to him what we've been up to. He doesn't take it well and is, I would say, rude. And I would say he loses the moral high ground as a man coming on the show to talk about his cancer operation and recovery. I say actually comes out of it pretty badly.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't cover himself in glory, did he?
I think he's lost a lot of fans there. Next week, of course, I will have seen Matthew face-to-face at Absolute Radio Live, so you can hear more updates. All the usual stuff in there, literal police, smugness, if you want to join in during the week. It's John at absoluteradio.co.uk. Enjoy the podcast.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Happy Saturday. Welcome along. It's John Richardson on Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm tired, but I'm all right.
Why are you tired? Just life and that?
Just life and that. And it's an early start. My alarm went off at 4:30 this morning to get here, John.
Mate.
So, you know.
Oh, mate. What time will you be done then?
What, today?
Yeah, just, I don't mean like what time will you go to bed. I mean, exactly what time will you just say, no, no more?
In about 10 minutes, I reckon.
Yeah, lovely.
We'll see how we go.
Have you got a gig tonight?
I've got a gig tonight.
Oh, excellent.
So I'll nip home, have a kip, then out again tonight.
Which audience will look forward to seeing a very exhausted Angela?
It is a charity gig in Hampshire.
Oh, that's fine.
So
that's fine. You don't have to try it. A charity.
Phone that in, right?
No refunds, isn't it?
That's
no
right.
Refunds.
What are you gonna do?
Get your priorities.
Not pay me.
Yeah, I don't ever try at charity gigs. Anyway, news on Absolute Radio Live from the Palladium later on. How did you feel about the subtle dig at you there in the weather report? Because obviously I am in Sheffield, you're in London.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a guarded jab at you, but brighter in the north with drizzle in the south.
Well, it's nice, makes a change, doesn't it, John? Nice, you know, we'd let you have the good weather sometimes.
Well, I thought it was a comment on our personalities, personally. I thought that's what they were saying.
Well, this morning, I think it could be very... I'm definitely feeling greyer than... And you're quite chirpy this morning, John. It's...
Oh, no, is it a role reversal?
It's a bit disarming.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is, Angela.
Yeah.
I'm not fully dressed.
I'm looking at you, John, I know.
Last week, I was fully dressed, but with just slippers.
Right.
This week, I've gone top half only.
Oh, you've gone Donald Duck?
It's not just downy fluff and feathers down there, but I've got something on. Anyway, all this proves, this may not be the cleanest show on radio, but it's certainly the tidiest, so we're going to tidy up all the unfinished business from last week. You weren't here,
no.
You were off gallivanting, weren't you, for your birthday?
I was, it was my birthday last Saturday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's a week late and I haven't got you anything.
And so also, I've turned 48, it's not that happy, is it?
Who cares? It's a good number, yeah. 48, I like it.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say, Mr. What are you, 43?
42.
42, oops.
How dare you. The phone camera adds 1 year. So you weren't with us last week, but if I were to sum up the show, here is Kerry Godleman describing the schoolroom.
You nunchuck your way to school, swinging it around your head, ready for battle.
I love the way she says nunchuck. She put an M in there somehow. That was beautiful. Nunchuck.
I also revealed, talking of age and things you might never do again, I confessed my dream to one day, once again, go to a rugby pitch and chase a rugby ball around. And we had this note in the week.
Hiya, John. I'm from Sheffield Tigers Rugby Club. I heard you last week saying that you'd like to run after a rugby ball again. Well, why don't you come up to our ground and we're sure we can help you with that.
John, that worries me. Like, I don't want this to be upsetting or insulting, but when I look at you, the sport I think of isn't rugby. Do you know what I mean? I'm worried they're going to hurt you. Don't go.
Oh, I don't think there'll be other boys there. I think the way he worded that was more... the way you would speak to someone who said, oh, there's no one to look after my spaniel next Saturday. And you say, well, bring him up to Sheffield Tigers and he can just chase balls about for 10 minutes.
We'll keep an eye on him. He won't come to any harm with us.
Yeah, I will go up there. It's specifically somebody to kick the ball very high and right. I run after it and catch it. That's all I want. I don't want any physical contact. I don't
no
want
scrummage.
To shower. No touching of any other men.
Right.
Just catching a ball as it falls from the heavens. And I just want someone to say, oh, that was quite good. And then I'll go. That'll be my
John.
Retirement from rugby.
You're such a simple man, but it's so it's so sweet. It really, I just want to catch a rugby ball.
I just, yeah. Oh, no, what if I don't catch it? Now
see, that's what I'd be worried about, is there's no one else there. They're going to kick it really gently, you know, they'll be, and then what if you miss it?
That is how it goes. My life has taught me anything. I picture myself going in thinking I'm going to be really good at this, and then it'll be an absolute disaster, as it was when I had the opportunity to kick a conversion at Twickenham and missed 6 times.
No!
Anyway, somebody, much more in my wheelhouse, is picking people up on their grammar. And last week, someone got in touch to say that bad grammar makes them want to barricade themselves on top of a mountain. Mm-hmm. Mel reached out and was not happy.
Hi, John. I heard you mention on the show last week that you would love to be in a cave on top of a mountain. I just wondered, can you actually be in a cave on a mountain top, as a mountain top would be on top of the cave? Cheers.
Did you see my... I went a bit cross-eyed there trying to work that out. Can you be on the... What? You said you wanted to be in a cave on top of a mountain.
I don't remember saying it, but it does sound very me.
Yeah. You could be in a cave in a mountain. I went last summer, I went to a bunker in a mountain, which was pretty cool, in Italy.
You so, have some trips, don't you?
I do, don't I? Yeah.
Well, let's all Google the very definition of a cave. A cave or cavern is a natural void underneath the Earth's surface.
That's cleared that up, John.
You cannot be in a cave on top of a mountain.
No.
And I'm grateful to Mel for the chance to apologise to the nation or that percentage which listens to the show, which we won't go into.
You could build one, though, right? If you wanted to.
Oh, mate.
Or do they have to be naturally occurring?
I think... It's not beneath the Earth's surface, though, is it? It's on top of a mountain.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fine. As you were.
Thank you.
No worries. Cleared up.
Now, clearing things up. Very often, you'll start with a question and you'll say, hey, I was thinking about this week. Mm. I've been thinking about a lot of stuff this week.
You are a thinker, John.
I've been all over the shop, I have.
Mm.
You don't want to dip in my head. Speaking of dips. Oh, you see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Do you know what I've been mainly thinking about this week?
Go on.
You posted a picture on Instagram last week of what looked to me, and I can't confirm this, like a special... holder for a well-known drive-through takeaway sauce container that goes in your car.
I did. A friend bought it for me, and it holds a takeaway dip. You clip it onto the air vent in your car so you can eat fries and dip while you're driving, although obviously I don't do that because that would be dangerous.
No, I'm not sure of the legality of that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I would do? I'd have an unopened one just on there, just to remind you of the possibility of dip just all the time. It's one of the most incredible bits of kit I've ever seen.
It's great, isn't it? So simple, yet so effective.
So, that tells you exactly where my brain is at. So one thing, I think I'm going to fire a lot of questions at you, if that's all right.
Okay, fine.
And just join in on any of them. Just tell me what you want to talk about. We will talk about a few. First and foremost, we're going to discuss later in the news that isn't news, that wasn't in the news, that actually is news that we should talk about. We're going to discuss phobias, because you found an excellent story about odd phobias.
I have.
You have an odd phobia.
You say it's odd, John, but I am scared of fish. I don't know if you'll remember that. Do you remember when I did Cats Does Countdown with you?
Yes.
And I nearly ended up on your lap because Jimmy Carr, they did a sort of under the sea scene while we were doing a numbers game. And I turned around and Jimmy Carr had a fish in his mouth.
Yeah.
They didn't realise my phobia. And I was on your team. And I almost ended up in your lap quivering.
All fish?
All fish, pretty much, yeah. Not, I mean, if it's sort of a fish fillet on a plate, I could cope with that. Fish fingers, not a problem. But if it's got eyes and scales, and it's the lips, John. Oh, that actually made me go then. Did you see
what
that?
What about a fish with fingers?
A fish with fingers? If I could just see her fingers, it'd be fine. If I see the whole fish with fingers, forget it.
So it's the breadcrumbs you're fine with?
Breadcrumbs are fine.
If you've got a strange phobia, then get in touch. Someone else in the studio is scared of butterflies. I think my phobias are all normal.
I like the way the person is... we're saying someone in the studio because they don't want to be identified.
yeah.
Might throw them under the bus later.
Out.
We'll see.
I'm scared of all the normal stuff. Heights, spiders and emotional closeness with another human being.
Yeah, normal stuff. Normal stuff. Yeah. Have you heard John talking about being scared of things? I'm a bit scared at the moment because there is apparently... a national taro masala shortage. And I do like, even though I'm scared of fish, I will eat their eggs mushed up into a pink sauce. You're not a fan?
Oh my God, I mean everything about that sentence. I'm fine with the taro masala. I can't even say it. I'm
oh, you're vegan, aren't you? That's why you can't say it.
Yeah, it's also why, you know, I don't think I've ever had it even before the vegan days. Just the very description of the dish.
It's lovely. It does look... looks like it's going to taste of strawberries. I think that's the problem with it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It's very fishy.
Well, I'll say now, just don't keep the shortage and get rid of it.
Just get rid of it.
Yeah, don't bring it back. There's no need for it.
So just don't worry about it. So are there any other foods then, John, that you think, well, we don't need that, let's get rid of it?
I would say anything involving fish eggs.
Because
I don't want it to be a class thing. I'd say taro masala and fish eggs, just get rid of. Don't need them.
Is taro masala basically sort of poor person's caviar? No, poor people aren't eating taro masala, are they?
I don't know.
Not unless they do a pot noodle flavoured taro masala.
You might be the first person I've met who's eaten taro masala.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe the shortage is because of me. How much of it have I been eating?
So we're creating a list of foods that should be outlawed.
Yeah. For me, it's melons. Easy.
All right. And you had melons.
Melons.
Not watermelon.
All melon. The thing is, it makes me angry, John, because I am not a fuss. I pride myself on not being a fussy eater, right? I'll eat anything. Look at me. But melons upset me because they look lovely, but I just can't bear the taste of them. And I want to, so every summer I try one again and go, right, this is the summer where I'm going to be all right with melon. And every summer they let me down, so they've got to go.
I agree with you on all except the watermelon. All the other ones can go.
No, watermelon's just as bad.
Okay.
Well, it looks lovely.
We'll discuss this because I can see that Jeff wants to get rid of rich tea biscuits as well. I'm not having that.
No, definitely not. He's wrong.
That is a fine biscuit for a tedious man. tell me about your birthday. As an adult, because it's also Kerry Godleman's birthday tomorrow, so we wish her all the best.
Oh, happy birthday, Kerry.
I wonder if she'll birthday the same way you did, because you went for it.
I did go for it. I did loads of fun things last weekend, but one of my favourite things that happened is my auntie bought me a big jar of retro sweets, like the old penny sweets and stuff. So I basically spent the weekend eating sweets. But, John, I remembered a couple of weeks ago, you told me that there's a type of sweet that you like that no one else in the world likes, which is the Palmer Violet.
Palmer Violets, yeah.
So I saved all the Palmer Violets. I'm now showing John a bag full of 10 packets of Palmer Violets, which I've saved for next time I see you, John.
Oh, that's there very kind of you. And I tell you what, if you try and get through airport customs with that bag, you're getting in trouble. Because we know it's too sweet. No one has ever carried a little polythene plastic bag
purple
of
pills
before. So yeah, deliver them by car if you would.
But I think, no worries.
If you properly, I think there's something to be discussed about adults who really go for it on their birthday. Because I don't. I told my own mother not to visit me on my birthday.
Oh, John, that's really sad. I think I get, my dad was a really big birthday celebrate. Like, that's your one day, that's your special day, that's no one else's, and you have to be spoiled on your birthday. It's the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't agree.
Do you spoil your daughter on her birthday?
Oh, absolutely. Other people's birthdays, absolutely. But your own, I think. If other people around you do it. But I'm still slightly dubious of adults who send out, like, I'm having a party.
That's just because you don't like parties, John.
Yeah, or adults.
Or leaving the house. But you like going to children's parties. Is that what you're saying?
Because there's an honesty about children's parties. Let's bounce about and then let's have some jelly and then let's go.
Yeah. Absolutely. What about for your next birthday, I get you a bouncy castle and some jelly?
But nobody else is allowed.
Just you, on your own, with a rugby ball on a bouncy castle.
Oh, my God.
They are sorted.
That does sound wonderful. Last week, someone got in touch to say they had the sound of this show on, but the visual of Stuart Little in their house. And that's one thing that stayed with me this week. Why Stuart Little? And why? I don't understand. I sort of almost understand it the other way around more, that you would just have the Absolute Radio banner so you could see songs that were being played while you watched Stuart Little. I don't understand. So if you have us on in the background while something else is occupying your visual, I want to know more about that as well.
I think it makes sense to have the news on with us sort of, you know, the news is pretty bleak at the moment. Just watch the news, but have us wanging on about Palmer violence in the back.
Absolutely.
That will make you feel better.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. What are you smug about, John? Don't forget, what are you smug about?
It's a good one this week, and you told me you've got a good one.
I've got one I think you're going to find hard to bring me down on.
I don't know. I'm very negative this week.
I'm getting that from you, John.
I tell you what, if I wanted to end my career now, I'd tell you what I called a coat hanger yesterday for not going on the rail. That would be the last thing I ever said.
How's living alone going, John? Is it all right?
It didn't go on the first time, Angela, and that upset me.
Yeah.
And then it didn't go on the second time. And then I made an offer to take it outside and do something to me. I'll tell you, that's all I've got. And finally, if like me, I'm very interested in, at this time of day on a Saturday, whether our audience are dressed or not. I think it's exactly 50% of our audience is dressed or not dressed.
I think a higher percentage is not dressed. It's Saturday morning, John.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of people who do stuff.
Well, we asked people, what's the one food you'd like to see just disappear on the back of this Tara Masalata shortage?
I would say, however bad the shortage is, there is still an excess of Tara Masalata.
Even if there's no Tara Masalata.
Yeah, if there's one pot in the back of a fridge somewhere in Banbury, that is too much Tara Masalata for the world.
You've really taken against it, haven't you?
It's foul.
Well,
it's
John.
It's creamy fish eggs, man.
Creamy fish eggs. Nom, 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 nom. Well, don't worry, John. We've had some texts in.
Yes.
We've had, this is from Tish. Mm-hmm. And Tish says, if we're getting rid of revolting food, can we abolish celery?
No.
It's vile, it's pointless as a food, is what
it's
Tish
delicious.
Says.
It's delicious. You've got to braise it, mate.
Isn't celery the thing where you burn more calories eating it than it gives you? So that does make it sort of pointless.
I use it basically as a vehicle for spicy sauce. Sometimes I want a meal that's a bit spicy, and sometimes I just want to inject heat into my body and just deal with the chaos over the next 24 hours.
You could just drink it from the bottle, John.
You could just drink it from the bottle, yeah, but then you get too much of a mouth burn. I like to let it get in so that it can really, really punish me
from
inside.
So celery is basically, it's just a vehicle.
Well, all braised in the oven, hot
celery.
Hot, salty celery.
Don't you come at me about Tara Masalata and your cooking celery.
I think I might be weird.
I think you might be, John.
I did run and ask my daughter in that link what food she would ban, and not to suggest that I serve her hot, salty celery, but she said any green food except apple mowams.
Good answer.
It is a good answer.
Good answer. We've also had Rob, who's texted to say that all variety of melon is plain wrong. Thank you, Rob. I concur.
Yeah. I don't think it helps that the way we've been served melon, I think we've done the greatest disservice to melon of all foods, because it was a starter in the 70s and maybe the early 80s. And it's not, is it?
No.
It's not a starter. You can't just pin it to a piece of ham and
that's
pretend
you've
created a meal.
You get those melon ballers, mini ice cream scoop to sort of make balls of melon. The thing is, it's never going to fill you up, a melon, because it's mostly water, right? It's a bit like cucumber.
Yeah, it's a nice fruit, but it's not a meal.
It's not a meal. It's not a course.
Or it's a palate cleanser, isn't it? They give you it as a way of saying, that last food had a lot of flavour and the next food has a lot of flavour. So here's something bland.
No flavour at all.
Wipe your palate of any memory of any joy you've ever had in your life. And the other thing we do with melon is it gets chopped up in a factory and wrapped in a plastic pot and then driven the length of the country and sat on a shelf for 3 weeks. So it's all wet and manky around the edges.
Oh, John.
So I think there is a way of serving melon. I'm trying to think of the best way to serve melon, and all I can think is those videos where they drill a hole in a watermelon and tip a bottle of vodka
in it. There we go. How about we've had a message that says, this is from SJ in Chester, pineapple should not be on the planet. It's just wrong. Now, I disagree with that. I love a bit of pineapple. Do you know where I like pineapple, John?
Yeah.
On a pizza.
Of course you do.
Yes,
of course
I do. And I'm not ashamed to say it.
I'd go as far as to say all fruit-based sauces, applesauce, cranberry sauce, all of them, get rid.
Oh, no, cranberry sauce? Why do you hate Christmas, John? Why?
I love Christmas. Love gravy, love stuffing.
Oh, but it's nice when the cranberry sauce mixes with the gravy a little bit.
Why don't you tip a yoghurt on there? Why don't you tip some Munch Bunch yoghurt on there?
Munch Bunch yoghurt? That's going back, John. No. Oh, that you pulled that out of the depths of your memory, didn't you?
If you want to go back further, we'll go to the days of Fiendish Feet, if you want.
Fiendish Feet? Vaguely. Little pots that stood up.
Yeah, they were monsters and they had little feet.
Yeah, I remember those.
But no.
Do you remember Funny Feet Ice Cream?
Yes, I do.
We've gone down a new track now, haven't we? Like foods I remember.
Yeah. What I will say on the pineapple, because I don't mind pineapple.
Yeah.
But I think the pineapple itself is saying it doesn't want to be eaten. Any food that sharp and impenetrable is saying, just leave me alone.
I think I might be a bit allergic to pineapple. It sort of makes my cheeks tingle. Does it do that to everyone, or is that just me?
We've Googled a cave. I'll tell you what I'm going to search for in the next link. I think I remember hearing that pineapple contains an enzyme that will eat your skin. So if you just hold a piece of pineapple... I'm going to state this as a fact now, and then I'm going to check and come back and clarify. But I think if you were to hold a piece of pineapple for, let's say, a day, it would dissolve the skin on your hand. Ooh. And it would be like the last scene in Terminator.
I know a fact about pineapple, but I shall have to tell you off air.
Pineapples contain an enzyme called bromelain that can break down protein chains and dissolve dead skin cells. In fact, this enzyme is so strong that pineapple processors have to wear gloves and masks since the juice will eventually eat away at the hands and face.
Oh my goodness. Now I feel it's morally wrong to eat pineapple because the poor people putting it in the tin, because let's face it, that's how I'm eating it, are having to go through that.
They put themselves in the line of fire for us on a daily, but every time you have it on a pizza, somebody has lost a hand or a face. And I hope you're proud of yourself.
Not that you like to overblow these things, John, do you? No.
No, absolutely not. But I think you should really think about what you've done. Are people dressed?
Yeah, I've got a couple of updates for you on that. So we've got John in Sutton Coldfield. He's dressed, and he's also smug because he's dressed because he's going to park run. All right, John.
Kind of person. I want naked people who are ashamed.
Absolutely. And we've also got the bald barber in Weymouth. Oh, that's quite upsetting in itself, is it? The bald barber.
Probably stuck his head in a tub of pineapple.
Well, he says that us barbers don't get a Saturday off, so he's up dressed, coffeed and at work. I know how that feels, bald barber. Yeah. I'm also at work today. I know how it feels.
He called himself the bald barber is okay, but somehow when you called him it, it sounded really upsetting.
That's how he signed off. I don't know what else to call him.
Keep on coming in with your dressed or not dressed and the foods you would like banished from the face of the earth. Coming up, we have a poem from one of our regular poets and from a brand new debutante poet by the name of Angela Barnes.
Oh, yeah.
John Richardson. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
John Richardson on Absolute Radio with, and I'll be very clear about this, Angela has been crafting this poem for some weeks now. She says it's her greatest work to date. Angela, take it away.
That is so mean. I'm going to give it some context. What actually happened was I live in Brighton and I had to set my alarm at 4:30 this morning to get the train to London to come and be on this show. And I'm not going to lie, John, I didn't sleep well. I was a little bit grumpy. And on the train, I went, I'm going to write a poem. I'm going to do a poem about it. So here we go. My alarm went off at 4:30 in the morning. That is quite sick. The things I'm willing to endure to be John Richardson's sidekick. I'm not a morning person. Before lunchtime, I'm a wreck fest. I would like to put a curse on the one who gave a comedian a show at breakfast. I don't mean to speak ungratefully. I do love this absolute nonsense. There's nowhere I would rather be than getting my dose of John sense. But Saturdays are for sleeping in, is all. Read the papers, eat some toast. Maybe I'll give Matt Ford a call, see if he wants a new co-host.
Oh, it's superb, Angela. You must have been so delighted when you wanted to use the word wreckfest and then you suddenly discovered it rhymed with breakfast.
Breakfast, and it definitely happened that way round.
I only assume that's the way it happened. Well, that was wonderful. And we'll thank you to one of our resident poets. Last week, I debuted my own work. Jo, one of our residents, got back in touch and she's written another poem.
The resident poet rhyming words for the John Richardson Show turned out to be a whole lot of fun. It'd be a shame to see it go. But we know they say in this here life all good things come to an end. So if we're going to park the rhymes, then some final words I've penned. For the RP Tracy, I've the utmost respect. Her poetic skills were a breeze. The hilarious pain of her printer and a dog that smelt of cheese. My suggestion we wrote together would have been easier than you think, with or without a nice lanyard and poor Digby, her dog that stinks. So I share the fact that we're already friends, although mainly it's just on FB. She'll remember me from On The Move because, yes, that Joe is me. The rival you all thought came from afar is no more than a 20-minute drive away from RP Tracy, and I'm sure we would love to attend Absolute Radio live. So a couple of tickets to support John and all and his well-known comedian friends will reward both resident poets and allow us to put down our pens.
Absolutely huge revelations in that poem. Oh. Revolutionary revelations. And how can you say no?
So, you've got to admire the chutzpah.
You have got to admire the chutzpah, and you reward chutzpah like that with two tickets to Absolute Radio Live. So to Joe and Tracy, thank you for all your work. We will see you tomorrow at the London Palladium. If there's anything you'd like to write up a poem about, it's john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
I'm not going to lie to you, there is some windy pops just below the surface.
Oh dear.
Like a mountaintop cave. It's not underground. It's going to come out at some point. So stay tuned for that. John Richardson here on Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
Hello there. It's a smug time of the week, this, isn't it? Saturday morning.
Yeah.
There are those of us who went out last night and are still not dressed and are deep in the shame of life. And there are those of us who are up and dressed and doing stuff and they've had a great week. And they're going to be obnoxious all day.
Yeah.
You could be having bottomless brunch with them. They're going to be smug. You see them later on, they're going to be smug.
There's a lot of people doing park runs.
Right. That's exactly what this feature was set up for.
Yeah.
These people. Do you know what, mate? You've done a 5K in a park. All you've done is annoy everybody else in the park.
And that's you could do done. It any time, but you've chosen to do it at the time when the maximum amount of people are going to see you.
Yeah, we all know you pretend it's all about camaraderie and that. You've got your little PB, you're racing the person in front of you. That's all you're thinking.
Yeah.
All you are is you're Jake Paul behind a pensioner convincing yourself, do you know what, I could win the marathon if I wanted to. Just because you've overtaken a pensioner, get over yourselves.
We've got a text actually from Claire from Southam and she says, morning all, I'm dressed, been to get my flu jab this morning and just arrived at Park Run so I can justify the huge quantity of food I'm planning to eat at lunchtime. Oh, Claire.
Why don't you have the food anyway, mate? And why don't you get flu? What's wrong with flu all of a sudden? What's wrong with flu?
That was definitely John saying that, Claire, not me. I just want to make that clear.
I don't want you to get the flu.
Yeah, now you're backpedaling, John.
Your food without having to... I went for a run last night.
Did you?
I went for a run last night, yeah. In the dark, like all people should run. Do you know when I run? 9 o'clock on a Friday evening.
Oh, that's because you're rock and roll, John.
Well,
actually, I like
I don't
swimming.
Want to be seen.
My pool, my local pool, has a swimming session at 10 o'clock on a Saturday, Friday night, and it's great. It's empty. Love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you can really wee in there in peace. You're not disturbing
Absolutely.
Anyone, are you? And it'll still be in there for all the Saturday
for
morning
for all the
swimmers.
Kids on a Saturday morning.
How smug are you this morning, Angela?
I'm smug. I think you're going to like this one, John. As I said before,
all right.
Because
all
it involves right. it involves buying clothes from a supermarket.
Yeah.
I like a bit of supermarket clothes shopping, mainly because no one tries to help you. Do you know what I mean? You've got your trolley and you're just left alone. So
yeah.
And I was in a well-known supermarket the other day, and I spotted a scarf in there, like because the winter's coming, you know.
Yeah.
And I really liked this scarf. It was a really big, soft, lovely, cuddly scarf. And I ummed and ahed about it, and I didn't buy it. Right. And I got home later that evening, and I thought, oh, I really wish I'd bought that scarf. It's really nice. So I went on their website, and John, in the store, the scarf was £13.95.
Yes.
But on the website, £9.50. So I saved money by buying it on the website, John, instead of in the store when I was there.
So you bought it online?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't buy it in the store. I was expecting more of a saving. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought you were saying online it was 3p.
So producer Jeff has just said to me, did you pay for delivery? That is not the point, Jeff. Don't ruin this, all right?
Well, listen, so basically you haven't bought clothes at a supermarket is what you're selling me.
I have in the past. One of my proudest moments, John, I think you'll like this, is I went to a thing that had a red carpet, and I don't do that very often. And yeah. I was walking down the red carpet.
A Toby Carvery,
exactly that. And a photographer shouted out, who are you wearing? And I said, Tesco's. So, you know, proudest moment of my life, that.
Well, listen, I obviously support thrift.
Yes.
It's the time of year for scarves, definitely. Not to completely ruin your smugness, I would just point out that fashion industry, and especially the cheap end of the fashion industry at which you are clearly operating, no offence, is the second biggest consumer of water on the planet and
You're
is responsible
right.
for nearly 10% of global carbon emissions. So well done.
Should have gone to a charity shop, John. I'm sorry.
I don't want you to think that I'm only rude and horrible to Angela and those people I know. I want you to know that if you are listening to the show and we don't have a personal relationship, but you wonder whether I can be rude to you as well and undermine any sense of joy that you have in your life, then I am absolutely willing to do that. So do get in touch. And I'm pleased to say we have been contacted by none other than Stan, the big Leeds fan.
Hi, good morning. This is Stan. I feel very smug with what I do on a Saturday, driving up to Leeds on the M62. Myself and my partner, we choose a temperature that when we get to the sign of the highest motorway in the UK, we try and predict what the temperature is. And currently, according to her message she sent you last week, she's 5-1. It's actually 7-1 because I was actually spot on that day. And you get 2 points for a win of a spot on and one for a close to it. And also, when you actually get to put your thumb and finger on your forehead and look at your partner and go, loser, it feels really, really good.
I'm going to guess, John, they've been married for quite a while.
I was listening to that, I thought, I think Angela could do a better job of this than me, because I'm going to declare this now, I really like Stan. He's a Leeds fan, so I've got no intention really of, smugness he has about driving to a Leeds game will be washed off by the Leeds game itself. So there's not a lot I can do there. But I think actually you could probably do a very good job of critiquing that message.
Well, I just think, you know, talk to each other, maybe. It's the loser thing. Like the amount of glee in Stan's voice about calling his partner a loser.
Absolutely. 7-1, you know. Though, it does sound like she's incompetent.
Losing. Yeah. She's not.
Dreadful,
I mean,
really.
I wonder if she might be like me, a woman of a certain age, because we are not good at gauging temperature. I'll say that right now. I am sitting here right now with a hand fan. So, and it is November. So, you know, she might be at a disadvantage. That's all I'm saying.
I'd like to know more facts about the game, because it's a game I am willing to bring into my own life. I'd like to know when you have to declare your temperature, because obviously once you've got in the car, you've got a sort of fair idea of the car's external thermometer and what it's... The difference between where you set off from and where you are at the highest point is probably similar each week. So that's a clue. Do you have to declare before you leave the house? I'd like to know. I'm very pleased it's 2 points for a correct answer, one for being close.
Only you, John, could make this game more complex and, dare I say, tedious.
I think it's fantastic, and I think I don't need to say anything about ruining the smugness of it, because it's clearly a relationship that has its challenges, and I think they cope with it as best they can. They're driving to a place where, if you want to know anything you need to know about Leeds United fans, things now are as good as they've been for a long time. We have an attacking manager, we have a young side, we score goals, we win more often than not. There's still... I would say most fans are unhappy because we don't win well enough. And that is everything you need to know about Leeds fans.
That's just football fans, isn't it?
I don't know. I think there are some. I don't know. If you support one of the really lowly teams like Torquay, you're probably just glad to see anything good happen in
You've made producer Will cry. I'm not sure why. He's just welled up, John.
But I am very pleased. And, you know, some weeks you just have to step back and say, I am not best judged to judge how anyone else spends their time. You know what I did this week? I went for a pretend dog walk and I went for a little walk in the woods and I just pretended I had a dog.
Oh, John. You didn't have your Build-A-Bear on a lead, did you, or something like that? That's the picture I've got in my head now. I know you love a Build-A-Bear.
Yeah, I just lobbed it into the woods with a little bit of cotton fluff and pretended it had done its business.
John, if you want to borrow a dog, you can always borrow my Tina. Just bring
her
back.
What it is, and we can talk about this more, I really want a dog at the moment, so I'm pretending I've got one during the week to see if it's practical. So sometimes I just think, right, could I go to the shop now if I had a dog? And yesterday I thought, do you know, if I had a dog now, I'd go for a walk in the woods. So I went for a walk in the woods. I didn't need to stand on a rock and watch it frolic around for a bit because it wasn't there. But I got back to the car and I thought, I do want a dog.
So because you do that twice a day, John, that's the thing. Not just when you want to go for a walk in the woods, you have to do it twice a day.
John Richardson
and the John Richardson Show. He's done 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Now, John Richardson does radio. This is the John Richardson Show.
Tomorrow night, myself and Matthew Ford are hosting Absolute Radio Live at the London Palladium. An incredible lineup which includes Dara O'Brien, Judy Love, Josh Widdicombe, Susie Ruffle and Phil Wang. I say it includes them. That is it. That's all of them. It's in aid of the National Orthopaedic Hospital charity. I'm delighted to say now I'm joined by Dara. What do you mean he's pulled out? Well, who have we ended up with? Oh, you're kidding me. Hello, mate.
It's John Richardson.
Oh, he's doing his Dara. Fair dues. That's very brave.
I don't know.
Sounded more like Bob Dylan.
You do sound like a sort of
American. Bob Dylan. He's not listening, is he? Are we on?
I can't wait for you to meet him tomorrow and find out what he really sounds like.
John Richardson, That's basically all he does for an hour, isn't it?
If I see Dara tomorrow and all he says is say my name and then just go,
I will bottle it, definitely. John, can I just say it's a pleasure to be on your show.
You can.
Obviously, I never listen live. Most people don't. But the last bit of AC/DC was fantastic.
Can I just ask, what is a Saturday morning in the Ford household? What are you wearing? What are you up to?
I'm wearing Adidas tracksuit bottoms, a Steve Cooper grey jumper, and I've just had a bowl of fruit and yoghurt. I will, after this, make myself a cup of coffee.
It's nice to know you've got bottoms on, because John refuses.
Yeah, I'm not bothering. Top half, hooded top, a number 23 blue and yellow top in honour of Calvin Phillips, and on the bottom half, my bedtime panties and socks and slippers.
Panties!
Oh, sorry, that made me feel a bit crazy.
I'm getting, over the course of this month, I should be broadcasting from Sheffield. I'm going to wear less and less. That's the plan. So throughout November, last week's fully dressed slippers, today bottom half, next week, who knows?
And who's this for?
Me and anyone who can see through my front window. Ultimately, it's why... It's ultimately why I'll have to collect my post from a post box rather than having it delivered to my house. That's basically what's happening.
I think you're going to have to collect it from a police station pretty soon.
Do you want to... Now, this can go one of two ways, Matthew. We're going to talk about the gig tomorrow night, or we could do it like this sort of laddie banter that we do, because that's just who we are. We could make a sort of Paul... and Tyson sort of analogy, which one of us is the sort of deluded old slugger and which one is the young upstart? Or we could do like an emotional link where we actually talk about the charity and what it means to us. What would you like to do?
Oh, crikey. Let's mix it all in. So, do a bit of laddie banter about the terrible trainers you've got on, some rascal clobber.
Yeah.
You're virgin. And then... and then what are we now? Now we're facing off. Man, he's going down in the sick. I'm going to knock his ass out. This mother don't know what he's got coming to him. But I didn't either, and that's how I ended up. And at my lowest ebb, I felt like I'd been in a boxing match. I was in a lot of pain. And that's when the Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital and the charity that supports their work really saved my life and looked after me and gave me the wonderful recovery that I still enjoy today. And the Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital is a national hospital, so anyone can get referred there. So if you ever need spinal surgery, or for me, I needed spinal surgery because of cancer that I had in my spine, that is the place where we all get referred. Lots of veterans get referred there after serving at the front line. They make a lot of prosthetic limbs. So it could happen to anyone, and the charity makes sure that the hospital has the pioneering technology to keep being able to do the very best. It's in the top 10 orthopaedic hospitals in the world, so if you need that surgery, you will be getting amongst the best surgery on the NHS, thanks to these people. And they also make sure that the patients are comfortable, the TV is free, the food's good. So they really
loved
are...
You loved the food, didn't you? Let's be honest.
Man, the food. You saw it.
I did see it. I smelt it. Some of those stews you had smelt lovely.
Yeah, the meatballs was good. The chicken hot pot was good. The stew, the apple crumble with custard. Even the cornflakes in the morning. Everything they gave me was great. So I'm very grateful.
Would you say, on the whole, the food sort of... I wouldn't say that you were glad you got cancer, but it would have sort of 50-50 balanced it out?
I mean, I'd say you were glad I got cancer, and that's as close as I can get. But I was sad to leave. People would come and say, oh, I'll be back at the hotel tomorrow, because it felt so much like a hotel and not a hospital. People thought I'd gone private, and I hadn't. It's a phenomenal place. And
it was a phenomenal place.
The crucial thing, obviously, is the operations that they can give people as a result. So if you're in the unfortunate situation that I was, you can get referred to that hospital from all over the UK and know that you are getting the very best surgery, really, in the world, thanks to the work that that charity does. So... and I'm just so grateful to Absolute for letting me pick the charity. It's incredible that they've let me do that.
It's going to be quite an emotional evening, isn't it? Because I think we've got staff from the hospital there, and it was obviously a trying time. But I was so impressed. I came to visit you, obviously, because it's free parking. It's a good tip, actually, if you are working in central London. It's got a massive free car park, and you can walk to an overground. But it was a very difficult time. It was an exceptional place, so... It's going to be a special evening tomorrow, isn't it?
It is. As you say, the guy who operated on me is going to be there. The nurses who looked after me are going to be there. So it's going to be very special. And John, you helped. You came a lot. You never turned up empty-handed. You always had a treat for the nurses.
Yeah, sometimes a dance, sometimes a song. I think they would have preferred biscuits.
Yes, they did say that. but you were a very good friend to me, John. And in difficult times... friends and family, you know, they're the people that really keep you going. So,
well, listen,
John, in many ways, I think you should get a cut of the ticket receipts.
Oh, don't worry, he's made sure of that.
While we're talking about friendship and helping each other through difficult times, I have a slight confession to make to you. Will you hang on so I can talk to you about it after this?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, listen, I joined Absolute Radio a couple of months ago, as you know, Matthew, and my two aims were to change the landscape of broadcasting, tick, and to undermine your show where I could. Okay. And because I'm going to see you face-to-face tomorrow, I think it's time to make a confession that every week since I started, I have been asking our listeners to text your show on a certain theme, getting you to read out words against your will. On rock and roll football. So, for example, last week I asked our listeners to make you read a text with tree-based words in it.
Dave in Sevenoaks says, "Trainers, you should be so lucky. I'd have killed for a pair. My parents thought they were too American. So even when they relented and stumped out for a pair of jeans, so he managed to convince them to get him jeans, but he still had to wear them with a pair of mahogany brown hush puppies."
The hat trick. Three in one text.
Oh, my God.
One of my favourites, I asked our listeners to send confectionery-based terms into your show, and you read this.
Mark in Ware says, "The nights we used to have in drinking mead in the Star Bar on medieval nights. Without going into it, details one night involved making a lot of mead and a live badger and a very destructive game of Skittles. What? Oh, my God.
Hook, line and stinker. It's been happening
like
every week,
the end of the usual
mate.
Suspects. It's all... I remember those messages. They... I thought they were real.
Well, may I play you one final clip and my final confession on the Kaiser Soze reference. We asked 1 week for our listeners to send in electrical items for you to read out, and you read this text from Sue from Clifton.
Sue in Clifton is going to have some soup, stock and lentils into a slow cooker. Ooh, and then when you get she gets home from work, she's going to stick it in a blender, put the rest in the freezer to microwave when she next needs
great
equipment.
Great advice.
I am Sue from Clifton.
Oh,
you're Sue in Clifton.
I am Sue from Clifton. So not only do I get, I've been doing it as well. And you read that one out. And I know you fell for it because we have the same producer, Will, and he told me that you read it out. I was thinking of texting Will and saying, can you make sure he reads the Sue from Clifton one? Because it would really be good for the show. And you read it anyway because I am on top of you. I'm in and around you. I dominate your every waking move.
Yes, you think that makes you cool, but if... You're obsessed with me. You think about me way more than I think about you. I've got too much on to bother my mind. Lions do not concern themselves with the business of sheep. I don't need to think about you and your show and who's going to text in and who isn't. Whereas you're just constantly thinking... I'm just there for... I take it as a great compliment. That you're so jealous of whatever it is I have.
Whatever it is you have. couldn't have put it better myself. Thank you for joining. Seriously, I am thinking of you a lot, and I'm very much looking forward to tomorrow. Absolute Live at the London Palladium. I remember where I was when you rang me to tell me the news about your diagnosis last year. It's a call I'll remember for the rest of my life. And I tell you, if you told me then that in just over a year we'd be on stage together at the London Palladium, I would have absolutely bitten your hand off. I cannot wait. I will see you tomorrow night. Thank you for joining us.
Cheers, mate. You're it!
No! Unacceptable.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes on Absolute Radio. I'm very excited to say it's time for this.
That's the sound of the
literal.
That's the sound of the
literal.
Police.
I think that's the coolest thing you've ever done, John.
I'll take it. I'm peaking now at 42. I'm peaking. We have on the show founded, created, and launched the literal police. It's the literal police for people who use the word literally incorrectly. It's been a bugbear of mine for some time. I have asked for your help to find as many culprits as possible. During the week, Louise from Scarborough got in touch in her email. She says, "Hi, Rico and Barnsey."
Love it.
You like that? Yeah, too right.
Love it.
On Married at First Sight, and this is something I wouldn't have seen.
No, me neither.
The reunion ceremony. She said, "I've spotted an offender. Don't judge me too harshly. I haven't seen every episode."
But she has watched the reunion.
She has watched the reunion of people she doesn't know about. She said she watches because I find the arguments funny, and I cannot disagree with that. She says, "I'm a bitter single mum, and it's nice to know I'm better off that way rather than dating some of the men on the show."
Right.
She's found an offender, and here it is.
So, yeah, at the dinner party, as soon as I saw Kieran, crumbled. Literally, yeah, I crumbled.
Did you, though?
Literally you, though? Crumbled.
She did it right, and then she thought, it's not. This is the problem with literally. She said, "I crumbled," and we live in a world where that's not enough emotion. So she obviously, looking into the eyes of someone, she said, "I crumbled," and they went, "I don't think you did." And she went, "I literally crumbled."
How do you feel about if she'd said, "I really crumbled"? Because she didn't really crumble either.
Yeah, I think I would have allowed that.
You'd
but
have
literal
allowed it.
For me, there's no defence. How do you feel?
Yeah, it's. I can see why she put that in there because she really wanted to hammer it home.
Yeah, exactly. And
also,
and
I feel like
it. You
can literally emotionally crumble. Can you?
Don't. I'll put you in there with her. I will put you in there with her.
What,
she's
literally?
Guilty. She's going to jail. There you go. It does feel very Partridge, but I tell you what, I don't mind it. If you spot any offenders that you would like us to take on, get in touch. Email me like Louise did. Email is john@absoluteradio.co.uk. And I'll tell you what, Angela, watch out, because I'm on to you, mate.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
It's that time when we discuss things that perhaps weren't in the news bulletin but might have been. Angela?
Yes. I saw a news item, John, this week about the Swedish Minister for Gender Equality, who is called Paulina Brandberg. Mm-hmm. And she
has... I believe
has, you. Well, you could Google it if you don't.
I believe you, mate. Why would you lie?
It'd be a strange thing to lie about. I mean, I lie about a lot of things on this show, but that's not it. And she has sent a memo out to ask people not to eat bananas in the office where she works, not to have bananas, because she is phobic of bananas. And do you know what a banana phobia is called?
Oh, I would have said that, a banana phobia.
Exactly that, yeah.
It's not, it is that.
Yeah, which I thought was disappointing, because usually they, like, I've got a phobia of fish, but that's called ichthyophobia.
And it gives you the ick.
Fancy, it gives me the ick, that's right, yeah. John, yeah. But yeah, banana phobia. So there you go. Have you got a weird phobia?
No, I don't. I'm not scared of anything, actually, so shut up. did I come across all right there?
Yeah, it didn't look at all defensive, John. Don't you worry about that.
The dark, the concept of time, other
emotions,
people, the changing seasons. No, I'm not. I do know of somebody with a phobia of sponge.
Oh, yeah, I can understand. Well, I've got trypophobia, you know, so it's anything with sort of holes in, that kind of, or any... Like naturally occurring circles is the way I describe it. Really makes me shiver. I can't.
It's an oddly common one.
Yeah.
That,
when I was growing up, I knew it made me feel weird, but I didn't have a word for it until much older.
Back in the day when I used to consume the flesh of the dead.
Oh, my goodness. What he means, listeners, is when he ate meat.
Yeah. I ordered a seafood platter.
And oh, you're going to say octopus?
No.
No.
One of the prawns was carrying babies.
Oh, yeah.
So I turned it upside down and all the eggs were underneath.
No.
And that is a moment I'll never forget as long as I live. And it is one of those odd moments where you think, well, I'm happy to eat you, but that makes me feel sick. And I have a spider's web now in my porch that has... The spider has clearly laid eggs and I can't reach it. It's right up in the corner.
Oh,
I don't know what to do about it.
Oh, you're going to have a lot of spiders.
I know. Technically, I'm a vegan, but I tell you what, if there was a humane way of those spiders being born inside the Hoover, I would be okay with that.
What I'd do, John, is I'd hoover them up and I would throw away the Hoover.
Oh, I don't know.
That's
what
I would do in that situation. The prawn thing, because I've got like a... I don't like fish and I don't like sea creatures much. And I once...
That's the clip for next week.
I once went to a restaurant with my cousin Stephen and some other family members, and I ordered a paella.
I
name-checked
for Stephen, but nobody else.
Well, he's important in the story, that's why. So I ordered a paella and it came with like shell on prawns on the top. Yeah. So I was about 12 at the time, and Stephen said, if you go to the loo, by the time you come back, I'll have dealt with the prawns for you. So he did that, and I came back and he dealt with the prawns, so it was fine. I started eating and he started laughing and he'd put the prawn heads on his fingers and he just like lifted them up like puppets behind the table and started doing Diana Ross of the Supremes with them. Could you keep me hanging on with his prawn heads on his fingers? So I don't like prawn heads.
And did that help the phobia or make
it
worse?
No, it made it worse.
Well, I support your rejection of your cousin, and I support the Swedish minister, I have to say, because I'm not phobic of bananas, but I quite happily live the rest of my life without seeing somebody else eating a banana, which always makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah, they're not an easy food to eat in public, are they?
No, they're not. They shouldn't be allowed to be consumed in public. Behind closed doors, please. We've got toilet cubicles. There should be little banana cubicles everywhere. Angela.
John.
Have you heard of Operation Bear Claw?
I don't think I have, no.
Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it?
Sounds very sort of Cold War spy, which is my kind of thing.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? If I told you that Operation Bear Claw involved the arrest of four people and financial benefit of over £100,000, you would be thinking, wouldn't you, this is some sort of international espionage, this is perhaps a drugs thing.
Heist.
This is a man in California who put on a bear suit and pretended to break into his car and cause damage to file an insurance claim. there's footage online. Once you know it's a man in a bear suit, it becomes absolutely hilarious. So somehow they've managed to get, and they successfully put in three claims totaling $141,000, £111,000. People got onto them. This is the problem. I would say if that's, you know, I don't know why they needed the money, perhaps, you know, and I would say of all the people to be sympathetic with, the insurance companies are not one that many people will feel too sorry for.
No.
If your thing is, why don't I just dress as a bear and smash my car up, suggest you're on a certain sort of route one
How
level.
Much damage do you have to do to a car to be 100,000? That would be, I would need 100 of my car in order to get that.
It's a Rolls Royce Ghost, so the car itself is worth £100,000. And there are claw marks on the leather seats and the leather lining of one of the doors. Oddly, nothing on the outside, which suggests the bear somehow used the key, which would be the first point of problem. It's then the investigation that the insurance companies have to go through. So what first raised the alarm is they submitted three different claims to three different insurance companies for the same night and the same damage on different cars. So it suggests some sort of rampage where this bear, and they all came from the same address, so this bear has targeted one house. Nobody else has seen a bear or heard of a bear. But this bear on
this bear's just got this vendetta against this one man and his cars.
Gone to this one house, used the key to get inside, scratched up a few seats, and then left. So then what they did is they issued a search warrant for the house.
Yeah.
In the house, they found a bear suit.
I mean, surely that is insurance fraud 101. If you're going to pretend to be a bear to make an insurance claim, hide the bear suit. Bury it in the garden.
You've got the money at this point. You've got the 100 grand.
Yeah, you're home and dry. Suit. You're not going to need that bear suit again.
There's pictures of the bear suit. It does just look like Bungle from Rainbow. and I'll point out again, the footage looks fairly good.
Maybe it would have been better if the claim had said, Bungle from Rainbow has attacked my car. That would be more believable.
He's hit on hard times.
Yeah.
But even I think as an insurer, I go around your house, I find a bear suit with razors attached to the claws. That's my job done. They had to go further. The line for me is, to confirm that the footage showed a costumed human and not a bear, department officials asked for the assistance of the California Department of Fish and Wildlife biologists, who determined that, in quotes, it was clearly a human in a bear suit.
I love that they had to get a specialist to confirm that.
Yeah, I mean, they're all going to be prosecuted by the San Bernardino County District Attorney. It's one of those, I'm not sure how I feel. Obviously, it's insurance fraud, but the gift that you've given the world of comedy.
Right.
I hope they don't get judged too harshly.
Yeah, you've given everyone a laugh. And again, got to admire the chutzpah.
I sort of hope that if there is a trial, they turn up in the best. Just keep pushing it as far as it'll go.
The razor claws will set off the metallic alarm thing as you walk into the courtroom.
I am actually a bear and you can't prosecute me. Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson. John Richardson. The John Richardson Show. I know it's not about me. I'm having a lovely morning.
Oh, good, John. That's the most important thing, really, as long as you're enjoying yourself.
You were a little bit grumpy and tired when you arrived.
I was.
How are you feeling?
I've perked up, John. It has been a really good morning. And we've had loads of texts in from people, which is always really nice.
About the food.
About the food that they want banned. We've had Jules. You've been thinking about it.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've got a couple. See what Jules says.
Jules says, can we please banish pretzels? She describes them as bite-sized morsels of rich tea biscuit drenched in a mire of burnt egg white and smothered in salt. Absolutely foul. I like a pretzel, Jules.
Well, we've heard both sides of the argument there. It's that question time, really, isn't it? I think one thing and then I hear someone else speak and I think, well, I don't know anymore.
Well, we've got balance on this show, John. That's the most important
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. But I am on the side of Jules, I'm afraid.
You don't like a pretzel?
Don't like it. And I tell you what, because they look delicious, and they look delicious in cartoon form as well. And the first time my daughter had an actual, like the big bread thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
An actual pretzel. She was so disappointed.
Oh, but when they're hot and covered in cinnamon and sugar.
This wasn't. This was just the salty
plain one.
Bread. Yeah,
the salty bread's a bit of a... But I like the little crispy ones. They're all right.
Little crispy ones.
All right, we'll compromise. How about Richard from Chesterfield?
Ban him.
Okay,
oh, no,
he's
sorry.
Gone, right? No.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
He says, hi, John, although he asked about John with an H, so...
No.
I think we know where this is going. Yeah. He says, I would nominate coleslaw to be banned. It smells rank, looks unappealing, and he then says something I can't say on the radio. he says, my wife eats it and it will form part of the divorce proceedings if that ever comes to pass. Wow.
Well, let me tell you the thing about coleslaw. If he means the coleslaw you buy in a supermarket in a plastic tub that has been crying in there, just cabbage that has been weeping slowly into mayonnaise over a period of weeks, he's absolutely right. But without sounding like one of those food people that everybody hates, if you go out and you go to a restaurant, you get a good coleslaw, like crunchy veg in a zingy salsa.
I
don't mind it. It's very much the same with potato salad.
Yeah.
You buy that horrible,
rank,
translucent, hard potato. It's foul. You go to a barbecue in the summer and someone's made one fresh with decent potatoes and a bit of...
That's good. Why do they make the store-bought potato salad out of hard potatoes?
I don't know. There must be something in it.
It must
have to cook them so they don't break up or something. But the little cubes, because they look like vomit.
They're
is what
sad.
They look like.
They're really, they make me sad. John, we've had a text here. Now, I'm suspicious of this one because it's from Sue in Norfolk. And I'm wondering if this could be a Matt Ford answer to Sue in Clifton. You never know. But it just says, sweet corn is wrong on every level.
No, incorrect.
Yeah, I disagree with that as well. I love a bit of sweet corn, me. It's good
the
stuff.
The ones I was thinking about, I know you can't ban protein, but I would ban the addition of protein to any food that itself doesn't have. I'm very tired now of seeing protein added to things.
Yeah.
I'm not weightlifting.
Yeah. Are you not, John?
No, I was born with this body.
That's natural.
I'm very lucky. Yeah, that's all natural, mate. That's just from carrying the weight of the world.
I mean, that's getting clipped out, isn't it? Somewhere along the lines. I can't. John's going to clip that out and go, do you remember that time Barnsley said, whoa, mama, when thinking about my body?
Mama. It's because we were talking about Scooby-Doo earlier. This is a controversial one and you can answer quickly if you like. I think I want to ban nuts.
I'm with you.
Anybody likes nuts. They're foul. And the thing is, when I see somebody eating nuts, I really hate them. In a deep, because nothing says I'd rather live forever than enjoy my life than somebody choosing nuts as a snack.
John, I'm just holding up the packet of cashew nuts I've got in front of me.
Are they yours?
They're mine, yeah. No,
why are you eating nuts?
Cashew nuts are the only ones I like. Other nuts, I don't believe people really like them because they just get stuck in you. I don't think anyone's ever eaten a nut because what happens is you chew a nut and it just hangs around your mouth forever. No one has ever swallowed one.
They're disgusting. And they're just like bad crisps.
Yeah.
That's all they are. We had the nut. We evolved. We added salt and vinegar flavouring to it and flattened it out. You've got crisps now. You don't need nuts anymore. I'm pleased you agree with me.
Yeah,
Thank
I do.
Thank you very much. Cheers, mate.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Rock and roll football is back. I say it's back. It never went anywhere. It's here all the time. It's your ever-present friend on a Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock this afternoon, Matt Ford and Chris Skull for an international break special. Earlier, you may have heard, you will know if you listen to the show, we've been pranking Fordy. I ask you to get certain words into your texts. On his show last week, the challenge was tree-based references in your messages, and we got this beauty.
Dave in Sevenoaks says, trainers, you should be so lucky. I'd have killed for a pair. My parents thought they were too American. So even when they relented and stumped out for a pair of jeans, so he managed to convince them to get him jeans, but he still had to wear them with a pair of mahogany brown hush puppies.
So listen, that was supposed to be it. Nice. We've had Sue from Clifton. I've had my fun.
You've come clean.
Can I reveal who that was? That was our producer. We've all had a bit of fun. We've all had a bit of fun with Matthew Ford. And you'll have heard earlier, I confessed to Matthew live on air that that's what we've been doing, and I made peace and I said it's done now. Now, as far as I'm concerned, he's never more vulnerable than now. He thinks he's safe. He's strolling down that alleyway. He hasn't looked over his shoulder at all. I think let's go for one last week.
John!
Just because he's not expecting it, is he?
Being friends with you is scary. Do you know that? It is.
You make your choice. So I think let's go, let's really just go for it this one last week.
Okay.
I'll send one in. Since we've discussed off the back of a worldwide and shocking Tara Masalasa shortage, we discovered Angela Barnes' fish phobia.
Yep.
Ichthyophobia.
Ichthyophobia. Well done, John.
Ichthos, the little fish symbol.
That's
that you see
right
on the back of the car that says, I'm going to drive slowly.
and not park very well.
Oh, I did a park this week. I had my mum in the car and I reverse parked. And she went, well, what a shame I was the only one here to see that.
Oh, I bet you were proud though, eh?
Oh, delighted. But it's sad that she knows that my first thought was, well, that should have been filmed. Anyway, while he's vulnerable, let's get as many fish references into rock and roll football if you can today. You know, there are some straightforward ones, straightforward names of fish. Bonus points this week for seahorse, pufferfish and piranha.
Mm.
As the resident huge football fan on the show, Angela, do you have any suggestions?
Well, I need to ask you some questions first, John.
Oh,
is there a footballer with the name Ray?
Oh, I mean, there has been, historically. There was Ray Wilkins.
And
there
what
Ray
about
Parler
with the surname Mann? M-A-N-N, maybe.
Ooh, I think there is a man somewhere.
Because I wondered if
men.
You could get a pass from Mann to Ray.
Oh.
Do you like that?
Yeah. You could describe one player in the Open as like the free man. So the free man passed to Ray.
To Ray. Then, the free man to Ray.
I thought you were going to say Stingray.
Oh, yeah, that would have been better.
Yeah, that's a good possibility. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Any others?
When's the Premier League back? I've got the memory of a goldfish.
Lovely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll go for that.
Yeah, he won't see that coming.
He's already forgotten the conversation we had earlier. And if you're worried, you know, that I have betrayed him by saying we were finishing or not, just remember how rude he was to me. Unbelievably rude, I thought. Said he never listened to my show, as did most of the country. And also said, lions do not concern themselves with the lives of sheep.
That was a low blow.
That was a very low
blow.
But
that came from, you know, I mean, that was spontaneous and in the moment. That's been festering. He's been saving that up for years of your friendship, John, you could tell.
Yeah, you could hear it, couldn't you? Yeah. Well, Sue from Clifton will be back today. So will Phil from Reading and anyone else I choose to be as I bombard his show. Fish references, please. Rock and roll football, 2 o'clock.
John Richardson. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
Okay, Angela.
Okay.
This is the tidiest show on radio. We leave no threads unpulled at, so we've talked about a lot of things today.
We
Good
have.
Luck to you here,
I've
say.
Got a lot to wrap up here.
Good luck to you, mate.
Yeah, well, for a start, going back to your literally crumbling, which we imprisoned somebody for today. This is from Mark in Ware, who says, I haven't seen the show your listener was talking about, but I'm visualising a woman who is literally the consistency of an OXO cube and is only held together by the foil she's wrapped in. That's quite a vision, isn't it?
It's sort of resident poet style language, that.
It is. Maybe send in a poem, Mark, from where. You've obviously got a flair for language.
Mm.
We've got a bit of smugness here, I'd say. This is from Joe in South Lanarkshire. It says, good morning, not only... And this was sent at 8:48. So not only am I up and dressed, I've been out on a run, got the food shop in, grabbed a coffee and is heading to the hairdresser's.
But got the shopping while you were out on your run?
that's not a run, is it? Imagine if she's running with the shopping, that's extra weight. That's, you know.
Well, I also think it's disgusting for everyone else in the supermarket. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, did you not shower before you went to a supermarket?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Joe.
Come on, mate. Come on, mate.
We've got Kazan has said that she would like, this is talking about foods we'd like to ban forever. Mm-hmm. Olives. That's a bit, it's one of those, isn't it, olives? That I remember the first time I had an olive, I was quite young and thought it was a grape. Now that's a disappointment.
Yeah, I've done a similar thing with a gherkin and a chilli pepper.
Oh.
Yeah, much more painful.
Which way round? You thought the chilli pepper was a gherkin?
I was informed that a chilli pepper was a gherkin as a prank.
Oh, but you're not bitter about it. That's the main thing.
No, I think that's the start of the when the hemorrhoid kicked in, to be honest, at a young age. The trauma of that working its way through.
Let's change that topic quickly.
Mama.
Oh, mama. We've got an update on the mountain debate, the cave in the mountain.
Yes.
Now, this is from Jess from Leon C. I think this is a good point. Jess says, but the top of that mountain is still the surface of the earth. It's just higher up. So technically you can have a cave at the top of the mountain as long as the cave is below the top of the mountain.
Listen, I've got a lot of stuff going on at the moment. I like it when an issue is resolved. What I don't need is 9 minutes before the end of the show, someone saying, oh, that thing you thought was a fact, that's not a fact.
Curveballs, John.
Right.
It's all about the curveballs.
Anyone else?
Okay, we've got... now, John, I just want to reiterate, before I read out this text,
yes,
we do not need you to finish this poem, and you'll see why.
Okay.
Because this is from Craig, who says, there once was a woman with a bucket, should I write a poem? No, Craig.
No, thank you.
You shouldn't. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining in.
Thanks, Craig, but no thanks. And
name for the podcast?
Well, can I... the name for the podcast, I think it's got to be... Oh, Mama, it's a bit Partridge.
Definitely, Oh, Mama, it's a bit Partridge. I was going to go with Angela's Fishes, but I think that's a little bit too on the nose.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Oh, Mama, a definite highlight. Thank you for joining in today. It's been an absolute pleasure. We will be back next week. It's Rock and Roll Football from 2. Don't forget for your fish references. Massive thank you to Charlie, Will and Jeff for looking after the show today. Thank you and belated happy birthday to you, Angela.
Thank you,
happy
John.
Many happy returns and happy birthday to Kerry Godliman, whose birthday
Happy
will
birthday,
be tomorrow,
Kerry.
Who joins me next week. Coming up, it's Sarah Champion. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.